Thanks for coming out today, guys. This is an important series. We've been in the middle of a relationship series. This is part two. It's called Better Together is the series. And today's part is called Better Together in Love. That's why I'm wearing my pink shirt. Hello. So, fabulous, important message we have for you today. You guys really want to pay attention. Get this information down. God's will, God's plan for you is to have a relationship. For every woman here, there is a man. For every man here, there is a woman. Some of you might be sitting there and saying, oh, there's nobody for me. I missed out. It's never going to happen. Today, we're going to talk about and tell you God's plan, because there is somebody for every single one of you. That is God's will, that is God's plan, that is what He wants. And as I said earlier, if God makes that His promise, that's an ironclad guarantee. That means not a single one of you is excluded. I don't want you thinking, well, that's not me. He's talking about everybody else around me, but He's not talking about me. No, I'm talking about you. I'm talking exactly about you. In all ways, everything that God says in the Scripture, in the Bible, is a promise that God is making for you. You are not excluded. You are included. If you have begun that relationship with God, God wants us to be a couple. He wants us to be a couple, and we can be better people when we are together in that couple. It will strengthen us. It'll bring out the gifts and the abilities in all ways when we have that other partner that God has created for us. Let's take a look at Genesis. I'm going to read this. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Listen to what the Lord God says. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. It is not good that man should be alone. So God sees, here's Adam. This is the book of Genesis, way back in the beginning. And He sees Adam all by himself, and He realizes, this is not good. This is what God is saying. Let's go on. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed it up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So God first sees, this is for every one of you, He's speaking to you, He sees it's not good to be alone. He doesn't want that. He sees that's not ideal conditions. I'm going to create somebody comparable to you. That means for every single one of you. He saw there was nobody comparable when He got done. He formed all these animals out of the ground. It said He formed them all and Adam named them, but there was nobody comparable. So He took this rib out and created woman from that, so that there would be a comparable partner for Adam. Each one of us, God has somebody for you. You know, about a year ago, there was a girl coming to the center. She still comes. I'm not going to tell you her name, but you might be able to guess. And she was had been single for quite a long time. It had been about 9 years, I think. I don't know if that's exactly right, but it was close to 9 years, I'm pretty sure. And she had been single. And she came to me and she said, gee, you know, I really would like to get into a relationship. I'd really love to have a great relationship. And I told her exactly what I'm telling you. God promised you somebody comparable. God promised you a great partner. He said, there's a man out for you. That's God's promise. And I read to her this quote down here in Mark chapter 10. Let me read to you. This is Jesus saying the same thing that God said. And Jesus, let me skip down here. This is Jesus speaking. He said, from But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. So again, he's talking about the partnership. He's talking about this, just what Jesus is saying. And I told this girl, I said, I want you to know that this is a promise of God. Mark 10. Mark 10 is a promise of God. God is making to you, saying, there is a partner for you. There is somebody comparable for you. And I told her to stand on that scripture, to believe that scripture, to repeat that scripture, and just know that God had promised it. You know, a few months later, I heard her start talking to Liza about this guy. There was this guy she met. She didn't talk to me about the guy, but she was talking, you know how girls, they like to talk amongst themselves. Started talking to Liza about this guy that suddenly showed up. I know it was because she believed the promise of God. She was standing on it. And anytime we were praying together, I would say, remember Mark 10. That's the promise of God that he has a partner waiting for you. And that partner came into her life. Now, here we are. They are now at the point in the relationship where they're beginning to speak about being engaged. They got to that point. They're now talking. They're not engaged yet, but they're already talking about it. They're starting to have that where they're talking about being engaged. So the relationship has grown because they have stood on this promise of God. So I want you to know, without a doubt, God has a partner for you. If you're single, there is a partner for you. You believe it, know that God has promised it, and He will provide them. He will bring them into your life, just like He did with this young lady. Let's go on. Now back to Genesis 2, because there's more. There's more things about relationships in Genesis 2. Let's see what Adam said. Now God has just brought the woman to Adam, and here's what Adam says. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." There's some important guidance right there that Adam is talking about. Now, the first part was God promised somebody comparable. God delivered. God's going to deliver for you too. Somebody comparable. But now, once you're in a relationship, and this is for you, whether you're single or you're already in a relationship, so listen up. This covers all of you, basically, whatever situation you're in. God gives some very specific instruction in these words. He says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife." Now I know some of you have parents that you might love to leave and never speak to again. But that's not what God is talking about. That's not what God is saying here. He's not saying that you shouldn't have communication or relationship with your parents, or that you should disappear and never see them again and move to some foreign country and change your name. Although I know you're thinking about it. That's not what he's talking about. When God is saying, leave your mother and father, he is talking about you stepping out of the beliefs that you adopted from your parents. The beliefs, the cultures, the traditions, the ideas, the way of seeing the world. Your mother and father have a very unique way of seeing the world. Your family unit, immediate family, had a different way of seeing the world than anyone else. God is saying, leave that behind. Leave those ideas and those beliefs and those traditions and those cultures behind. And one of the reasons we want to do that is because if we come into a relationship, you seeing from your mother and father's point of view and your partner seeing from their mother's and father's point of view, you're now not seeing eye to eye. He talked about there being one flesh, being unity, united. But if you're both seeing from your own parents' perspective, there is no unity. There's disconnection. You're seeing from your point of view, they're seeing from theirs. What does this cause in a relationship? It doesn't matter what relationship it is. If you enter in bringing all those ideas and beliefs from your mother and father, you're now going to have a problem with communication, We all know how important communication is. A lot of us talk about communication and relationships, how communication has to be better, but we can't get that we can't get on the same lines with that other person unless we leave the stuff of our mother and father behind and step into it. That's the only way that we're going to be able to be one flesh and be communicating and working together in harmony. We have to leave that stuff behind in order to step in that. Also, it's going to prevent unity. We're not going to be able to be joined to our partner if we have our own unique perspective of beliefs from our mother and father. The unity won't be there. The communication won't be there. And I'll tell you what will be there. Strife. If you want to have arguments and disagreements, you come up against somebody else that has a different view than you and you begin to talk to them, and pretty soon you start ruffling feathers. Stuff starts to get stirred up. People start to get crazy, and you wonder why. And it's because you're coming in from two different points of view, and there's not going to be a connection. So why were you drawn to that person in the first place? Let me talk about chemistry at this point. Remember back in high school? Maybe you took some chemistry classes. Did anybody take chemistry classes? Oh, thank you. Thank you. A few people took chemistry classes. I don't know about you, but when we were in chemistry class, we were actually mixing chemicals. We always had to put on the goggles, the safety glasses or goggles. And sometimes you'd have the white jacket, or if you were really doing something heavy duty, you'd have the rubber gloves and the big heavy rubber apron you'd put on, you know, and then you'd be using like tongs to mix stuff. Why is that? Because when we're mixing chemistry, it's dangerous. You know, in a relationship, people are always looking for chemistry, right? And if there's no chemistry in the relationship, often we dismiss that person. We say, ah, he wasn't for me. There was no chemistry there. But we'd often overlook how dangerous chemistry is. Chemistry will unite us with somebody, but once we're united in the chemistry begins to mix, now it ignites and it creates a flame of fire. First it's passion, then it's a flame of fire of anger and rage, and then fear, and then back to passion, followed by more anger and rage. That's not a relationship, that's a roller coaster. We got a roller coaster when we're doing that, because there's ups and downs and ups and downs. You want to have a relationship where there's harmony, where there's love, where there's peace, where you're working together as a team, where you're growing and climbing higher, where you're becoming your best. And instead, when we look for chemistry, what we find sometimes can be toxic because we've mixed the chemicals together. I've heard about people blowing up the lab because they didn't know what they were mixing together, or creating some sort of noxious gas that would knock people out because they had mixed something together that shouldn't have been mixed together. And yet, quite often when we're coming together in a relationship, we're mixing chemistry and we're creating explosions. Let me tell you where chemistry comes from in the relationship, or what creates the chemistry in the relationship. Because I know we all think, oh, we feel that feeling and chemistry feels so good. There's just an electricity. And you always say, oh, it's like I've known them my whole life. This is amazing. Wow. Oh, and you feel the sparks. It's electricity. And you think, this is fantastic. But what creates the chemistry is actually all of the negative traits from your father and from your mother. And you're bringing that into the relationship. That's what creates the chemistry. And your partner has the same negative traits from their father and their mother are very similar, and it draws us together. And now we mix that. And for the first 2 or 3 months, you just feel wonderful because you feel the electricity. But then about the honeymoon wears off after 3 months, and then the explosions begin. The noxious gas begins to form in the kitchen, and you start to feel like, this person's driving me crazy. What is the deal with them? That's the chemistry. Because now that this has been mixed together, these negative aspects begin to come to the surface. Chemistry is one way that that brings people together and unites people. But it's not the most effective way. As we see, we want to leave our mother and father behind. See, God was talking about this way back in the beginning. This is the plan. What I'm reading here today from Genesis 2 is the whole plan for relationships. If you want to have a great relationship, if you want to have that be that special couple, all the instructions are laid out right there. So what we need to do is leave that mother and father behind. Leave their chemistry behind. Leave the drama and the trauma, the beliefs, the way that they see the world, leave it behind instead of bringing it into the relationship. We want to say, no, I don't want to bring in that stuff, and come in with a clear mind. That's what's going to allow us to unite. And that's what God is saying in here when he's saying, leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife. But that's for you too. Leave your mother and father. As I said, not physically. Don't think that. But I'm saying all those beliefs and all those ideas and all those traditions and all those cultural things, leave it behind so that you can be brought together as one flesh. You can be brought together in a wonderful way. It's important. You know, if we want to have great communication, we got to let that stuff go. Let that old beliefs and ideas that you're bringing in fall away. If you want to have unity in your relationship, leave the mother and father stuff behind. Leave that, all those dramas and traumas. Now, how do we do it? Because you could go through and you could sift through all the ideas and the beliefs that were unique to your parents. You could go through all the traumas and the difficulties that were unique. And that's a very long and arduous process. It's very difficult. Or you could take a shortcut. You could invite the Lord Jesus into your heart. Work with him and tell him, you know what? I want to do what God promised here. I want to leave my mother and father behind. I want to leave that stuff behind. God, cleanse me of that. And he'll do it. And it'll be much quicker and much easier, so you can get that stuff out very quickly when you're working with God. You don't have to go through it step by step and make it a very arduous journey if you're working with God. Now, we want to create this unity. This is where we want to get to, because as God said, and they shall become one flesh. We need something to create that unity. Step one is to believe that God has created somebody comparable to me. Step two is leave the stuff from my family, my mother and father, and all that stuff from the past behind. Let it go. Let God cleanse it away. But now we need something that brings us together in harmony. A unifying factor. A unifying factor. I hinted at this and talked about this in part one. That unifying factor is God. I'll tell you a story. You know, Liza and I, smile at me. Liza and I, we have very diverse and different backgrounds. She was born in Russia. I was born in Canada. She speaks Russian. I speak Canadian. You know, her family were atheists. My family were Bible-thumping Christians. She likes kind of upscale, very sophisticated. I'm kind of laid back, relaxed. You know, we have these differences in our life. And as a result of that, when we first met, we even said, both of us said this, oh, they're not my type. Because there were so many cultural differences, language differences, background differences. You know, if you put this out on paper and looked at how many things were different in us, you would have said, this is never going to work. But Liza and I did something very important on our own. We both were talking to God and saying, I don't want to have all this old stuff from my past. I don't want to have all the stuff that I picked up from my family. I don't want to carry all these beliefs. And the unifying factor that we had was we both were pursuing a relationship with God. We were both interested in learning more about God, speaking to God more, knowing and understanding God in a greater way. And that brought us together. Suddenly, there was a unifying factor that overrode all the other stuff. The other stuff didn't mean anything, and it wasn't helping us to become our best self or live in harmony in a relationship. As I said, the other stuff from our mother and father, we're creating strife, lack of communication, lack of unity. When we have a relationship, we want to be in harmony. And because we had this one unifying factor, that pursuit to have a relationship with God, it works. Our relationship together works perfectly. It works in harmony. And both of us are striving to grow with God every day to be our best. And He is bringing out the best characteristics in us. He is strengthening us. I know I talk about this a few times, but we wrote a book. If you look back at my history in school and everything else, I didn't really, if you look at that, you think this guy doesn't have the ability to write a book. He doesn't have the ability to read a book. But really, in getting together with Liza and working towards that unifying factor of God, He started bringing up these gifts and abilities that I had inside of me. They started coming to the surface. This is one of the benefits when we start working together with that person that's comparable to us. When we start bringing, really being unified with them, then God begins to open us in amazing ways. We begin to have amazing experiences in love. Liza and I have a very peaceful, loving, unified, great communication in our relationship. And it's because we're not talking about the stuff from the past or things that we picked up. We're talking about and following what God is giving us right now in the moment. God keeps leading us and creating one flesh. The two of us are coming into harmony more and more and more. And that's what we want to have. You can have very diverse backgrounds, but if you have the unifying factor, which is what we need, every single relationship needs to have the unifying factor, and that's God. And if that's your desire to keep pursuing and working with God, what that did for us also, for Liza and me, it expanded our vision of goals and dreams. I wouldn't be here today at Golden Heart. I wouldn't be up here at the front speaking to you if I hadn't come together with Liza. Because that just opened my vision to doing more and seeing more and achieving more. We can do far more together when we're one than we could do when we were alone. That's why God said, it's not good that you're alone. He's talking to Adam. It's not good that you're alone, but He's also saying that to you. It's not good that you're alone. And he's created somebody comparable to you so that when you come together with them, you will grow. You will flourish. You will have fantastic, loving relationships in all ways. That's what God's vision is for you. That's what His dream is for you. If you've been taking Bible study with us, you've been studying this story from the book of Ruth about Ruth and Boaz. For some of you, you've joined me on that Bible study, and you've been learning about this relationship that's unfolding. Ruth and Boaz also had very diverse backgrounds. Ruth was a Moabite. Boaz was an Israelite. Now, by the law of Israel, Boaz probably shouldn't even be talking to Ruth, because she was an idol worshiper in her country. He's a worshiper of God. That's not kosher. That's not kosher. You shouldn't be doing that. So he shouldn't even be speaking to her. He shouldn't be eating with her. But already, as we've done that Bible study, we've seen that he has invited her to sit down and eat with him. He is speaking to her. He is showing her favor. Why? Because even though they have these two diverse backgrounds, there is a unifying factor. They both have a love for God. See, well, Ruth was married previously. Now she's a widow. When she had that husband, she started to learn about God. She started to understand God. And when her mother-in-law, Naomi, said she's going to go back to the land of Israel, Ruth wanted to stay with her. Ruth was willing to step into that new belief, that new understanding of following God and having a relationship with Him. She was dedicated to that. She left her family. She left her country. She left her traditions. She left everything she knew behind when she came out of that land of Moab and into the land of Israel. She left her mother and father behind. And now she was able to be united to this man, Boaz. There's a unity being created because they both have the unifying factor They want to develop their relationship with God in a greater way. All those differences in their tradition didn't stop them. I like that Boaz didn't get stopped by his traditions and his laws. You know, could have kept him from speaking to this woman, but he could see God was working in her heart. God was speaking into his heart, I'm sure, and telling him, this woman is with me. And it brought them together. They now have this wonderful relationship. You know, it ended up being that they were in the lineage of Jesus. They were one of the ancestors in that line before Jesus. Often you don't think of that, but that just shows what a wonderful relationship that it was, that they came together from two totally different backgrounds, two totally different countries, that they could have this relationship. Not all relationships that come from different backgrounds work like that. I have another example from the scripture. You remember Samson and Delilah? Samson and Delilah, this one didn't quite turn out so good. Now, Samson was a man of God from his birth. He was believing in God. He was walking in God. His mother had dedicated him to God from the very first moment that he was born. Whereas Delilah was a Philistine, or a Philistine. And so she was from this country where they're idol worshipers. This was the enemy of Samson. Samson, every chance he got, he had the authority and the power and the strength of God. He was this powerful man of God. He had the glory of God upon him. He could go out and wipe out thousands of Philistines without even thinking about it, because he had that strength and that glory. Delilah was from this other place. And when they got together, I think it was probably chemistry that brought them together. And pretty soon, sparks followed, explosions, traumas. Didn't work out so well for Samson. One morning he woke up and all of his hair was cut off, and he was taken prisoner by the Philistines because Delilah was working to find out what was the source of this strength. Not that she could be a part of it and unite to it, but so that she could take it away so they could destroy Samson. So he woke up with his head shaved and in captivity. I think I dated this girl before I married Liza. I've dated women like that. But that's chemistry. It didn't end well for them as a result of this, because they had different backgrounds, different cultures, different parents, different points of view of the world. They did not have that unifying factor, and they did not leave their mother and father behind. Instead, they were trying to make this thing work with chemistry, and it got volatile. You know, it didn't work out well. Eventually, of course, Samson's strength came back, and he was able to flatten one of the Philistine temples, but he died there. So his relationship really, he could have been a great, powerful servant of God doing great things, but he had to get together with a partner that had also a love for God so that they could go to a whole new level. Imagine if Samson had a powerful wife also who had the anointing and authority of God on her, how much they could have done together. They could have done some good things in the land of Israel. But instead, his life was cut short because he was following after chemistry. He should have put on his rubber gloves and his apron and his goggles before he got involved in that. So, God has the plan. He's got a comparable partner to you, for you, provided. Now, some of you are already in a relationship. It's not too late, if you're in the relationship already, to say, I want to leave my mother and father behind. You can send out the beliefs and the false things and the ideas and that unique perspective that they're looking at the world. You can send that out of the relationship right now. You can choose to release it so that it's not creating conflict and strife and a lack of communication, but that it's creating unity and harmony in your relationship. If you're single, don't wait to get into the relationship. Begin now. That's what Liza and I did before we met. We already had started talking to God about leaving this stuff behind. At the same time, we were believing the promises of God that God would bring us a partner. We knew that he had a wonderful person for us and coming into our life. And then, of course, we had that other factor, the unifying factor. We had the relationship with God. We were pursuing and wanting to know more about God, and that's what really united us. So you can be united by chemistry, but you also can be united by that unifying factor, God. God will bring you together with your partner. And that is a far more safe way. That is a great way to grow and to strive and to become your best. And that's what God wants from you. So if you're single, don't wait. Start now working on that. And no, look at this last sentence. And I didn't read this last verse yet, but look at this here. This is verse 25. This is in Genesis 2. It says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." That's back in Genesis. They were naked. See, when I looked at that, I was looking at that and talking to God. God said this to me. He said they were naked. They were without all the baggage and the stuff from their past. They had left it behind, and they came into this relationship in kind of a clear, innocent state. They weren't bringing all this other traumas and dramas and beliefs and traditions and culture with them. They were coming in naked. If I didn't have all that stuff from my past, I'm not ashamed either. Right? And that's the way they came into it. They came in there, and that's what allowed them to be unified completely and totally. God has a great plan for you. He wants you to be in a great relationship. He wants you to be filled with love and goodness and light. He wants you to become your best. And when you and your partner start working together, you're developing your relationship with God, you're going to grow. Your best talents and skills and gifts will come to the surface, and you will receive the promise of God. We just have to follow these three steps. One, leave the mother and father behind. Two, believe that God has the relationship for you. And three, have the unifying factor, developing and working that relationship with God. Now, I didn't cover a lot of other issues that relationships have, but you're going to find that if you take care of these promises of God, those other issues will not be a factor. They will be taken out, because what God is saying here, this is really a roadmap right here to a great relationship. This is the key right here. And if you follow these, as I'm talking about, your relationship will be in perfect harmony in all ways. You will have the loving relationship you always dreamed of. And it doesn't matter whether you're already in the relationship or you're still looking, it can happen for you, and it will. Just believe the promises of God.